Welcome for another Monday night staple of your Monday evenings and what to do. This is the Vice City FC podcast, season dos, episode number 9. We are, Gus is, man, he's just taking a beating with the Orlando performance, so he just doesn't want to come on for a couple of weeks. So, but in all fairness, they got some points this week, so we'll talk a little bit about that, but no worries. No, we don't need Gus to fill in. We got the one, the only Chavi Guerrero, fresh off his appearance on another podcast, my ad. Nice. I listened to it very, very well. I liked it. Be sure to check that out. You can find the link for that as well on our Twitter, at Lemon City Live. That is the one, the only Chavi Guerrero. I'm your boy, Larry Fresh. We're going to talk a little Inter Miami today. We got Chavi's top 10, which I got to apologize last week. I know I said we were going to talk about it, and then totally forgot about it at the end. That was a little technical snafu, but today we got it. And because I feel so bad about it, we're gonna start with the Chavi's what is it that you call it?
The power ranking.
But what do you call it? No, but you called it something else.
Totally illogical.
Illogical. There we go.
Rankings.
So we got that. We're gonna start off with that. But first off, Chavi, how you doing? How you been?
Good. Can't complain. Had a great Easter, family time, spent time with the family, you know, the way it's supposed to be. And it was awesome. Just nice and feel refreshed and, you know, ready to go. I like your jersey. I like your kit, man. That's a nice kit.
You like it, right? Dude. I think I can officially say that red and teal are my favorite mix of colors on a uniform. I absolutely love how that combo looks. I don't know why.
Really?
What's the team? The women's team, Kansas City, KC Current, the NWSL team, they have this color combo. Beautiful. Baseball, the Diamondbacks have it, and when they do it, it looks really nice. I don't know. I'm a fan of the teal and red. It's really nice.
When it came out for Colombia, people were like questioning. They're like, oh, you know, that color is more like kind of the color Venezuela uses. You know, we're usually the yellow with the blue or whatever, but it looks the complete kit looks really nice, and they've actually had some good results in it too, so keep it going.
Absolutely. But we can't say the same about their new new Columbia kits with the weird orange in the back.
I don't know why they're always so simple with Columbia. I mean, like I love when Nigeria comes up with like some creative stuff. In Columbia, you have such a fusion of cultures. You have such a weird mix. Like, if you don't know, you don't understand. Like, it's like four countries in one. And you can use that and play with that. But no, they always go so simple. But oh, well.
But to be fair, though, like, Colombia also has a really nice thing that they could wear the flag as their uniform. You know, when you wear the yellow jersey with the blue shorts and then the red socks, it looks like the flag.
They did that like in 94. Like, I love it. I love that jersey.
Yeah, they got to embrace that a little more. They got to rock the three colors the right way. But look, not every team can be Nigerian. And if you do it and you take that gamble and it looks bad and it's like, but the jersey that they're wearing. Yeah, but the jersey that they're wearing now.
It's not awful. I mean, you got the little flames on the side. I don't know.
No, Baba. It's got orange on it. Then they're wearing the blue shorts and white socks. Put on the red socks. Get rid of that orange. Like, it's a big identity crisis. But anyway,
Send an email out there so you can be the coordinator.
I will. But you know, they hit it out of the park with this one. I'm rocking the nice one. So,
as long as they can look nice to me.
Exactly. If they win, then I'll for sure. You know, that jersey's gonna be beautiful in all time. But right now, we'll see. But anyway, let's get started. We're gonna talk into Miami. We'll sprinkle in a little Orlando City. We're not gonna take too long today. I want to do a nice quick get to the facts. Let's have some fun here because we're also in a little bit of a lull right now. We haven't had Messi for a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about that. Inter Miami's coming off a game, but our focus wasn't really there. Our focus is coming up on who they're playing on Wednesday. So we're going to talk about Champions Cup as well. So I want to get to that stuff. But without further ado, let's get to Chavi's illogical MLS power rankings for Lemon City Live, which, you know what?
Totally illogical.
But I got to hand it to you. We disagreed on one team, I think, when you gave me the list, because I usually make mine and then you give me yours and I kind of see like if I'm on the same page as you. And that's why it's a totally illogical, because we've been completely not on the same page for a few weeks now. But this was the closest we've come to it. This is the closest that we've got here. But let's start. Let's work our way from the bottom up. All right. You got it. Number 10. You got Sporting KC fresh off their 3-1 victory over Toronto. Toronto without their best player, who's going to be out for like 8 weeks. Insigne got hurt, got like a bad hammy or something like that. So he's going to be out. So Toronto,
a big loss. It's a big loss
for Toronto. And also, we wave goodbye to Toronto. We say bye. They're no longer in the power rankings. Will we see them make a return? I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to.
It's a long season. It's a long season.
But I do like Sporting KC. For some reason, I've always liked what they do. I like how they get a good crowd there. They have a great fan base. I like their uniforms. I like their color. Yeah. They have really cool kids.
Yeah, young, fun. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, you know, Inter Miami beat them, but we talked about them, said how much firepower they have. And yeah, you know, they didn't show it against Miami. But that I remember saying that somewhere between the midpoint on, I think that team would just go up because of the amount of talent that they have, young talent, very guys that can score. But it looks like they're starting to build even sooner than I expected.
Yeah, man, they got a great coach. They got a great coach too, Vermees. I mean, that's a loaded team. I like that team. Watch out for them. Now, number nine, you got Houston, a team. Number nine, you got Houston, which is a team that I don't like. I don't know. I don't like anything about the Dynamo. I've never been a fan. It's a weird thing. I don't know.
Rosario used to play there.
I probably didn't like them even more then. Yeah, I don't know. The Dynamo just never been a fan. The Orange, I feel like they didn't pull it off. I don't know. But Dynamo, let's see. How did the Dynamo do this week? The Dynamo, 2-1 win over San Jose at home. So not a bad. All right, we're going good here. Now, here's where we had a drop. Last week you had Minnesota, I think, at number 4. And now all of a sudden you got them dropping down to 8 after they lost the first game of the match. They 2-0. At Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia, here's where we disagreed. I thought Philadelphia was going to enter your power rankings here because Philadelphia's been playing pretty well lately. And that's a team that, as much as we talk about Sporting being well-rounded in any of these teams, Philadelphia is probably the best run team in Major League Soccer when you really think about it top to bottom. You know, great fans, great structure, great youth team, great leaders on the pitch, great players, and they got a great coach in Jim Curtin too. So that's a nice total team there, but they're not in the power rankings yet. But I have a feeling that we're going to see them make a. We might. But you dropped Minnesota, who last week was number 1 in the West. This week they're no longer there. We have a new champ in the West, but you dropped them pretty harshly here to 8. Man, you really gave them the business there for that loss.
It's not so much what they did; it's what the other teams did. Some of the other teams were a little bit more impressive. And remember, it's very dynamic. This is a week to week, so that's where it really is. So
don't be ashamed, bro. Stand up, own your rankings.
No. Own your rankings. I'm going with this. I'm going with this. I have no issue now, with that.
And remember, this is not what we think they're gonna be doing or how well they're gonna play. These rankings are usually based on the fact of how they're performing at this moment, not taking into consideration anything upcoming. So, and strictly MLS too. I don't think we want to, or at least I don't factor in, you know, performances in other cups and things like that. But here we go. Let's keep it going. Real Salt Lake. This was your big mover. They went from not ranked to the 4-man Colombian squad all of a sudden.
I mixed it up at the beginning. I was looking Sporting and KC, and I was thinking Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake is a team that I was saying that has a lot of firepower up front, very young guys. Chicho is a proven scorer, right? A candidate,
what a beast, bro.
To you know, run for MVP this year. He's going to always be one of the top guys up there. Hopefully he takes, you know, that next step as a leader. And the team does well. They're moving up. They're moving up. Young, nice young team. Let's see what happens. They're exciting. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, Chicho's like the prototypical perfect striker in MLS. He's a goal scorer. He's a poacher. He can finish. He hits penalties. He does it all, man. He's very good. Like
high energy too.
We wish Yeah, we wish. This is what Leo Campana should strive to be, bro. Like, this is what he should, you model his game.
But, you brought that up again.
I know. But Campapi. I'm just saying, could you imagine, bro, if we could have a little Chicho inside Campapi? But anyway, Real Salt Lake jumps up to number 7. Chicho Arango, hat trick this week. What was the final score in the game here? 3-1 over St. Louis. Yeah. St. Louis is having a bit of a
sophomore slump. Sophomore slump. It happens. They're having the season still that they expected last year. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But they're still a good squad, and they can still make some noise here. Now, Vancouver.
They're not taking it
Vancouver, you got at number 6.
Yeah. Just St. Louis, they're not surprising anybody. Last year, they came out, surprised everyone. Now everybody knows it's a different story.
Go ahead. But that's still a great place though, St. Louis. Where they're playing at City Park. The coaching, the structure they have there, that's gonna be a good team for a long time. This is only their second season. Yeah, very good culture. Vancouver, fresh off a 3-2 win over a team that was in your power rankings that also got the boot this week. We say goodbye to Portland. And we say, Vancouver, welcome to number 6.
Bye, Phil. Yeah. We'll hope to see you again.
The curse strikes again, bro.
So now we know Chicho's going to, not do anything.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, our next team on the list here, number 5, the New York Red Bulls, they had the guy Lewis Morgan was on the cover of our list last week, and they came off another 1-1 draw, but in Orlando, to get a draw.
Should have won that game.
Should have won, but they're playing well, and they're playing well. They're top 4 in the East right now, the Red Bulls, so
They're proving they're legit.
So Red Bulls hold it down at number 5. Now, here's a team that you've been high on all season, and I'm starting to come around. I wasn't that high on them at the beginning because of how disappointing they were last season, but they seem to have figured it out. They seem to have gotten it together here. The LA Galaxy, which is crazy because I thought by week 7 here, match day 7, we definitely have an LA team on this power ranking. But this is not the team that this isn't the team that I thought. And the fact that LAFC are not on this list is very, at least me scratching my head here because I'm like, wow, what a change.
You questioned me when I dropped them from the top 10, and they've been doing crappy ever since. So, they're still fighting to get up here.
Now, the Galaxy coming off of, who did they beat this week? Let me see here. 1-0 win over Seattle. Seattle's one of the worst teams so far to start the season. Again, weird, but they won. Right? You beat the teams you got to take care of. You beat the teams that you got to play.
Yeah, Miami didn't win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was my next point there. But LA Galaxy, man, Ricky Pooch and company over there. Hey, bro, they're doing some stuff. Something to keep an eye on here. The Galaxy reminding everybody that they run Los Angeles. As much as it's been LAFC for the last few years, they're still the big dogs. They're the 5-time champs. We can't forget about them. So let's see. Yeah. Let's see how it goes next week for them. But Galaxy, and then here, your top 3 pretty much stayed the same. You had Minnesota up there in your top 3 last week, or they moved out. So Inter Miami, Columbus, and Cincinnati round out your top 3. All 3 teams tied this week. All 3 teams really couldn't separate themselves from one another. But I think that's a solid top 10 there, bro. Your movers and your movers and shakers here with the Galaxy, Vancouver, Red Bulls, and Real Salt Lake. Props to those teams that are really making that jump here. But I gotta hand it to you. Your list this week, not totally illogical, bro.
Totally illogical, but on point.
No, you know what? I'm gonna give you 2 points for it, bro. Not bad. Because that was a solid list. I like it. Very researched and fun. I like it. It's keeping us entertained. And honestly, I love power rankings, bro. That's one of the things that I get the biggest kick out of. I absolutely love it. So let's talk about that number 3 team on the list. We got Inter Miami there. Inter Miami still, man, we talked about it last week. They played NYCFC this past weekend. This was a must-win game. We said it was a must-win game. Even though there was no Messi, we still had plenty of star power. We were expecting some returns. We had some nice debuts on the guy. I can't pronounce his name. I'm going to leave that up to you. The right back that we came in and just filled in seamlessly.
Weygand. We'll go with that.
Yeah. I think they, oh man, you know what? Inter Miami sent me an email and they said his nickname there and I forgot. It was something that we can call him, you know what I mean?
I think it's Cello.
Cello, there we go. So Cello, he, great performance from him. Came in, locked it down, played well, considering, you know, it was literally a plug and play after with no experience.
He got off the plane and went straight to the stadium and played the game.
Straight to the stadium and played the game.
It seemed like that.
So it seems like he's going to be pretty good. That's as good a debut as you want to have or as you could have for a guy without any experience or cohesiveness or anything like that. So at least on that position, we look good. But let's look across the pitch here because we ended up with a 1-1 draw against a bad NYCFC team, which right now that puts us, let's see, what's our record here right now?
3-2.
Second place. We got 2 wins, 2 draws, and 2 losses right now. Or 3 wins, 2 draws, and 2 losses, right? Yeah. 3-2-2. Sorry, I made a mistake here on my little game notes here. Not where we wanted to be. You know,
it's not terrible, but it's not what we expected.
Exactly. It's not where we wanted to be. It's not terrible, not what we expected. Still leaves a lot to be desired here. There are some shining stars here. We got to talk about Luis Suarez. He's having a fantastic start to the season. But Xavi, you're there. You're watching all these games. You're at the games. You're talking to the players after the games. You're talking to Tata. I know that there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of shakeups. I think we had Ryan Saylor making his debut this weekend. We had Sergio Busquets playing center back this weekend. I don't know how often in his career he's done that, but it did come as a shock to most people. Like, whoa, okay. You know, so there's been shakeups there for whatever reason. But you've been there. You've watched this team. What's the problem? Because, again, on paper, even though we're missing some key players, we have depth. Why is it not translating into proper results? What are you seeing or what are you not seeing from this team?
What happens sometimes is that you create opportunities and they're not going in. We saw Suarez with the beautiful header early in the match, put it in. He had another 2 or 3 honest, very clear opportunities that you would, you know, figure he'd put in, and he didn't. So he had a couple of clear shots. He had one where he was pretty much in front of the goalie and just like kicked it at his chest, basically. So he had like 3 chances. He could have had a brace. He could have had another hat trick. They just didn't go in. They just didn't go in today. Inter Miami had greater possession, not by much, but they did. They had greater amount of shots. They had a greater amount of shots on target. The goalkeeper, Matt Freese, had 5 big saves for them. You know, Drake Callender had 2. To be a little honest, the goal is a little, you know, blooper mistake. Alba, Busquets screwed up. There's a transition. There's a counter. Good shot. And Drake Callender has been a little bit he's not the same right now, at least. To me, he doesn't seem the same. He was in the first poll. It was a rip. You know, the guy nailed it. He blasted it, rocketed it, whatever you want to call it. First poll. But it looked like he could have been better positioned. Maybe he could have done a little more with his leg, his arm. I'm not sure. It just seemed that he gave up his first poll. Like, that's where he was going to be. You wanted the guy to make it on the other side. But he made it right where he was standing. Like, he kind of like did Tanga, like you would have probably done, you know, giving up the
goal. I would have blocked it.
You probably would have blocked it. You probably would have blocked it. But Inter Miami should have won the game. But then it was such a mishmash of a game. You know, there was moments towards the end where New York is making time. They're trying to get out of Dodge, you know. But then they have clear opportunities where they could have won that game in the last few minutes of the game. And we're like, oh, we got, you know, Miami got lucky. But if overall Miami outplayed them, Miami should have won that game. Pistolero didn't score, you know, 2. If he would have had the brace, that Miami would have won. If Busquets and Alba don't do that little screw up, it might have just went a 1-0 victory.
But, I mean, I don't know, because, okay, look. You said if we would have had 2 goals from Suarez, he got you one, and he got you a nice one, and you had guys up there. What's going on? Like, I can't put it on a guy who's got, you know, he's got 5 goals, 3 assists, and 7 matches.
He's carrying on one knee.
He's carrying the team.
He's carrying. So, Grasso has gone back to his to the average to the mean. I know he gave the beautiful pass, but overall his game was, you know, average.
Think so? And then, okay.
I think so. I mean,
I feel like he's been playing above average.
He's a good player, but I think average for him. He's a player that's been on a national team. You know, we're talking about a guy that has a national team player who has experience, who's won championships, you know, in MLS. I expect more. Maybe I'm expecting too much, but I expect more. I think he's played well. Remember, I defended him in the preseason when everybody's trashing him because I thought he was a good player. But I think he in this game, he could have given a little more. Robert Taylor seemed frustrated the first time in a long time that I see that he comes out and he looks pissed and he's like, you know, who knows what he's saying in Finnish, in his language there. But I think, you know, those two guys didn't have the greatest games. And Suarez, he's good enough to have scored two. You know, he there was some wide open right in front of the goal that he kicked it right at the goalie. You know, his header was fantastic.
Okay. But I don't know. I would have to put it on who's feeding him the ball, who's setting him up, who's playing behind the strikers. You know,
we had three Gomez, three young guys,
right? Man. So maybe there's the problem. I mean, what did we get out of that? Out of Ruiz, Bright, and Gomez here? I mean, we didn't get the creation because the assist came from a set piece, came from Gressel. I don't know, man. Again, I don't want to put it on the guy who's been producing everything, and I don't want to say that it's the guy that is not playing because he's the greatest of all time, because no, man, there's still so much talent on this team, with or without guys that are out injured and whatnot, to be this mediocre, because at the end of the day, this game, this performance was a mediocre performance. You had some bright spots. You had the goal from Suarez, you know. You had maybe a couple other little plays here, but it was mediocre considering the opposition that you're playing. It's a team that has had 3 points on the season. You just gave them their fourth point of the season in with this draw. They're not good. New York City got back on the bus to go on the airplane to get back home celebrating because they're like, yo, we stole a point from Miami. You know what I mean? We shouldn't have been doing that. And Miami feels like, well, we lost 2 points here. And there's, to me, when I have that comparison between or that distinction between the two clubs, I got to start looking, you know, past the guy who scored the ball and see what happened, what's going on. And I kind of feel like what you said at the beginning, like maybe Drake, like, come on, man. Like maybe what's going on here? Like, are you a little off your game?
Since the beginning of the season. He's not the same Drake. I hope it has nothing to do with the DeAndre trade because they were very, very close. I'm going to say that, you know, I hope it's not that.
I hope it's not. Yeah.
Right. But he seems like he's a little bit out of focus at moments. I'm telling you that if you go back and look at it, I know the guy blasted it, but he blasted it at him on his first pull. The pull that's where he should have been, you know, and at least got a finger on it or something. He needed to force the guy to go to the other side, and it was they tied that game on a mishap. You know, it's a terrible play. They gave up, and it wasn't even Saylor, right? It was between two of the greatest players, you know, Alba and Busquets. Busquets, you know, Alba loses it. Busquets is way out of position. Saylor can't go all the way through to save the play, and this guy blasts it right at Callander in his first pull, and he lets it in.
So maybe can I shift the blame to Tata then for fundamental mishaps? Because you said it. This is another mishap. This is another play that shouldn't have happened.
With all his rotations and with all the players, even the main players.
So is it a lack of you know, fundamental training here? Like, do you got to go back to basics? Because it feels like I know we're 7 games into the season here, but it feels like more than we should. We've said, oh, that was a silly mistake, or oh, that was a bad play, or oh, why did Callander come out and get beat on a chip? Why did this guy pass it back? Why did we do this? I feel like we've been in this spot way more than we should for a team with the talent that we have. Like, I know you used to write about it a lot. You used to call it the silly plays, the silly mistakes, the silly what is it? You had another word for it, silly something that you used to say. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I see what he means. But I feel like that was more prevalent when we were, you know, the Phil Neville team with, you know, a bunch of guys that didn't know that were patchwork together. We're not a world class, you know, organization now with the greatest player of all time and his three best friends. You know, like, it just seems like we're, why are we, you know,
they should be beyond. They should be past that. Well, but one of the things that happens is that you got these guys, they're the greatest of, you know, some of the greatest players of all time, but they're a little bit older. Busquets is a little bit older, a little bit slower. And there's several, and it's happened several times, even in this game, you know, there was a play where it was in the box and he gave the pass back into the box and Saylor barely came in to kick it out from the forward. They play to my liking, they risk too much in the back sometimes. Like they live dangerously. I know that the football romantics love coming out of the back and playing pretty, but the football, I don't know what we're going to call it, guys like me that say, you know what? Oh my God, there's too much pressure. Boom. Let me get that up there to Suarez, go run after it. And you know, we'll live to fight another day. So I think they've made it too pretty, and there's moments where it's cost them. It's cost them.
Yeah. But look, this is what I didn't want, which is what I don't want is to make that excuse. All these guys are older. These guys,
not an excuse. It's not an excuse. His mind is the same speed, but his body's not the same. He wants to turn.
No, man.
Guys on top of him.
I feel like that's a cop out. And I'm not saying that that it's your fault for saying that. But you know what I mean. But I feel like that's.
I think
that's the crutch that everybody's gonna lean on, and honestly, it's not acceptable.
I'm talking about the guys in the back. I think on the defense, that your speed, that step you lose on defense is you can lose a step as a forward and still probably be a little effective. But when you lose a step as a defender, it's noticeable. I'm not blaming Busquets because Busquets is amazing. But if you watch the games, there's moments where it's so razor thin where he's about to lose it or he's lost the ball. This didn't happen to Busquets 5 years ago. This didn't happen to him, let's say 10 years ago. I wouldn't even be close to it. That I believe the age had something to do with it because your body's just not. And remember, he had an ankle injury to start the season. And I don't know if that's healed 100% because he never stopped. He never stopped. Yeah. He never took time off.
I don't know. So. I'm a little bothered by the fact
No excuses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like, all right, as soon as things go bad or aren't to performance, I feel like it's – and I'm not saying you're
man,
doing
the
this.
Old man crutch. No, I'm definitely
exactly.
doing it.
Exactly. But I feel like – I feel I'm like, no, we got to be critical of the performance, of the preparation. There's a lot of other stuff that we should be critical about, that we should point out before we say – before we fall on that crutch and say, oh, it's – they're older, you know, we got to take that.
But that's
we
just,
knew that.
That's just for that particular play, for those particular moments where he wants to turn or do things and he thinks he's doing it at the same speed that he used to do it. So, and I'm talking about Busquets because, and he's the one that's the most noticeable to me as far as the age. Because Alba is still up and down on fire. Messi, whenever he's playing, you know, you can tell his age because he's been out a while. But whenever he's playing, he's hard. He still goes on 2-3 guys, and it's they can't take it from him. And Suarez is just scoring. He's not the same guy, but he knows where to be. Look, he knows where to make the run, and he's still doing his thing at a very, very high level. To me, it's Busquets, and still he's the key because he's the one that brings the ball out from the back.
Yeah. See, I look at Suarez and I don't have that concern of old because I look at Suarez and then I see what Higuain did a couple seasons ago where it was like, wow, look at that guy. You know, came out of nowhere, figured it out at the end, figured it out, was our best player. He was old and, you know, we wrote him off and we wanted to get rid of him, but he figured it out. I think the great strikers can do that. I think Suarez is in that category.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll find a way. They're at another level. But I do have concern. I do have concern here with the performance of some of these guys, because if this was a 1-1 draw with our team against, let's say, Cincinnati on the road against a good Cincinnati
a different
squad,
story, different story. Yeah,
it, Yeah, but this was a 1-1 draw at home to, you know, a bottom feeding NYCFC. Yeah, it's unacceptable. I'm not buying it. I hope that before I lean on that crutch of their old, I think they got to get back to fundamentals. I don't know. Maybe they've gotten a little too lackadaisical with the fact that Messi is here and, you know, that they can just create. But Messi's not there all the time. He's not going to play every minute. Maybe you got to get back to some, you know, hardcore fundamentals here. And it just seems like too many silly mistakes, like you used to call it in your articles, you know. So I don't want to fall on that crutch, but I think that's where it's going now. Is there any update on Benja Kramashi? Is he he'll be back?
He should be back soon because they had given a 2-month period for his return. He's actually past that. I know last week some people were reporting that he was back to full practice, and I have some information that wasn't the case. He wasn't back to full practice. He was, you know, out there doing certain things, but he wasn't cleared fully. He showed up on the list as questionable, right? I tweeted out the list, and there was some kickback saying no. Javi Morales said that everybody's at, you know, we're it's a foot fit squad or full strength, and then I went back to listen to what he said, to see. And I think there was a misunderstanding, maybe a language barrier, in regards to what he said. He was talking about the guys coming from international duty. He said that those guys were okay. They were pretty good. Like he didn't mention like overall for the team, because they talked about Christoph. Christoph, they said he was out. He was out. Fair out. You know, MLS, the status, player status, said they were out. Everything that they put out was accurate. So, you know, I went with that, and it worked out the way it should have. I mean, when a team reports something to the league, it has to be accurate. You know, then if not, you get back into some other issues. Benja, you know, the team needs him. The team needs him to have some depth. But the guy, let's not kid ourselves. The one that makes, you know, everything happen. The one who's the straw that stirs the drink. You know, like Reggie Jackson used to say. Is Messi. Yeah. So the moment he steps back onto the pitch, so many things happen. One, defenses have to like focus more on him, his spacing, his passing, his ability to score, and then his leadership on the pitch. Because you see him now talking to everyone. You see him talking to Noah. You see him talking to Pete, telling them, hey, you know, and guiding and teaching and being that mentor on the pitch. So, and it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. Everybody plays better with him on the pitch. They need him for Wednesday. They need him.
His English is very good.
It's better than expected.
All right. So let's, before we dive into this Champions Cup here, since our boy Gus is not here to defend his, you know, purple people leaders that, you know, are bottom feeders right now. Orlando City this weekend, they drew. Now, we did talk about the fact that they played Red Bull, which kicked our ass last week. We were going to see the comparison. The sample we got is them at home, 1-1 draw against Red Bull. That's a good result for Orlando right now, coming off of the
they should have lost that game. Let's not kid ourselves. They should have lost. It was an own goal by the Red Bulls that tied up the score. They should have lost that game 1-0. Miami should have won 1-0. So there's a lot of should have, could have, would have, but didn't happen.
But at the end of the day, what did happen? They got a point. We got a point. They drew against a team that kicked our ass 4-0. So they something for them to build on. We talked about the coach being on the hot seat. Now that's 2 games in a row where he's gotten points. Okay. Seems like that's going to extend the leash a little bit for them. Still, 1 win, 2 draws, 3 losses, 5 points. They're 1 point better than New York City right now. Not looking good, but hopefully they'll figure it out. The big thing that I have with Orlando is that I haven't been able to determine if they're a team that is like bad at offense or bad at defense. Because right now they're bad at everything. But what's their identity? Like, are they, you know, you pride yourself on being a good defensive team or being like Inter Miami. When you think Inter Miami, you think, oh, they're going to score points. They have one of the highest goals. I think they're averaging 2 goals a game, one of the highest in the league right now. They're going to put up goals. but you don't think of them as a defensive, you know, wall. You don't think of them as a defensive powerhouse team.
A juggernaut.
Orlando, yeah, juggernaut. Orlando, you might think, yeah, maybe they were built on defense because they weren't giving up goals, but then they give up even more, yeah, more silly mistakes than we do. So Orlando's still trying to figure it out, see what their identity is, but talk about a good time for a bye week right now. Orlando gets to rest this weekend. They don't have a game. They get to they got a little wave of momentum here, a win and a draw, and then they got a week off to recuperate, get everything, refocus, and come back and attack. I think they're playing DC United the week after this. So, Orlando, we'll see what you do. We'll see how Gus defends, you know, another bad performance. But for next week, he doesn't have to defend anything because they have the bye. So, let's go to what really probably matters the most for Inter Miami fans right now, which is the game they got on Wednesday. They're welcoming in Monterrey. You got a Liga MX team here coming in.
Top team led by in Liga MX. Top team. The top yeah. team.
Is it? Let me see. Are they their first right now?
They were recently. I'm not sure about the standing today, but regardless, they're the top team.
Oh, they're tied for first. Tied for first, 28 points with Club America. So, yeah, you're getting the best of the best right now. Monterrey's coming to town. They're led by a familiar name if you're a fan of MLS, and Brandon Vasquez, U.S. men's national team striker, who is doing pretty damn good up there, down there in Monterrey. He's playing pretty well. Let me see here. I don't have his numbers right now. But he's their top scorer, 5 goals on the season.
Right.
5 goals in the season. So not a bad for a guy going to a whole nother league in a whole nother country, even though he has Mexican nationality. But it's a challenge, and he's going in there, and props to him. As a U.S. men's national team fan, I like seeing that. That's good. Absolutely. But I don't want to see any of that on Wednesday. I want to see the bad Brandon Vasquez who doesn't play well and, you know, crumbles in the big moment. So I want to see Inter Miami get together. I want to see Messi, Suarez, and I want to see the whole gang together. I want to see Messi on the pitch. I want to see what this team can do.
You're not the only one.
Everybody's clamoring for it. But what do you feel like what you're going to see on the pitch as far as who's going to be able to play? What do you think?
These are the moments why these guys matter, why they've always been so great throughout their career. They always step it up. You know, I think nobody knows if Messi's going to play. I think he's going to play. Even if he doesn't start, I believe he'll come in and play some important minutes. These are the moments where you separate the boys from the men, the great from the not so great. And I expect Inter Miami to come out and motivated, come out intense, come out like when they play their best, which is with the high pressure, not giving space, not giving time to think, owning that midfield with Gomez all over the place and counting really quick when they get the ball and putting it in the back of the net. The defense needs to be solid. I'm not sure how he's going to come out. I mean, Tata, I wouldn't want him to come out with the 5 in the back because – you're at home. You have to find this game. You need to win this game. And like a 1-0 win isn't a lot. It really isn't, going back to Mexico. So I think true. They need to come out and try to win at least by 2 goals. So that means you got to put all your firepower out there. We should be able to see, you know, Campana at some point in this game also. They need to find goals, man. They need to find goals. Let me tell you, I personally would have preferred. This is just my total illogical, right? I would have preferred Campana up top in the three, them three. You lost me, man.
There. If this is your point, I'm making sure you get prime screen here.
I would have preferred Campana like up top and Gressel more towards the midfield to guy because it was a really really young midfield, right? You had Yannick Wright just came out of college. You have David Ruiz, who was in high school just a few years ago. You got Gomez, who just turned 21, right? So you had and they did. I think they did a very good job for you know, as young as they are, but they're very talented. Bright played a very very solid game, but I would have maybe liked Gressel there, and give me a little more power with Campana up top. So, you know, they can't just focus on our guy Suarez. But that's just me. I hope that this game they come out like they've done in the past. When they played Nashville, that they won that 3-1 game, they just suffocated them. And they came out there and they looked sharp and they looked energetic and they looked, you know, strong. They need to come out that same way. And the crowd needs to back them up. That needs to that stadium is going to be important because they travel. The Mexican fans travel well. So, you know, the crowd has to be strong. Has to be strong in that game. You can't let them feel like they're at home because it's a good team, a really good team.
It's true. That's a very good point, traveling. And I think more than anything is we got to limit the silly mistakes and we got to limit them on offense. Like we have to, we can't give up more than a goal, if at most one goal only because of the away goal rule here. You know, away goals definitely mean a lot in this. They have more significance than in other tournaments. So the away goal rule is in play. You got to defend home court, man. You can't give up any stupid goals. You can't give up any, make those silly mistakes. You can't, you know, not guard the post like Callender's doing. You got to really bring your A game right now. Bring it. And then, because you know the turnaround going to Monterrey is not going to be easy. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pink in the crowd. Everywhere Miami goes, there's going to be a lot of pink in the crowd. They do, you know, if anyone travels well, we travel pretty damn well. Although a lot of them are, you know, new fans or, you know, old Messi fans. But
whatever.
But I'm not worried about La Familia showing up this weekend or tomorrow. Not tomorrow or this weekend. On Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I'm not worried about that at all. I think we'll be all right with them. But I think it's very, very important that we show up on defense. And I'm looking at the injury report right now. This is right now our injury list looks as follows. Okay, Benjamin Kermashi says here that he's out till late April. This is what the initial
this is the report for what, the most recent report?
Well, I'm on FootMob and that's where I'm checking the just their general injured and suspended players right now. On the Monterrey side, they have one guy injured who's doubtful. So they're full strength right now. But look at this injury list. Look at this injury list here. All right, we got Kermashi till late April, Facundo Farias till September, Fede Round. We didn't talk about that.
2 months, man.
Big
2 months.
Yeah, that's a big injury.
Huge loss.
Big knock on the team. He was playing so well and fitting so nicely, and that's going to be a big hole to fill. It says here till mid-May he's going to be out. Ian Frey till mid-May. Messi, they're saying here till April. Freire, mid-April. Robbie Robinson. Totally forgot he was even on the team. April. And then Christoph here till late April as well, too, man. So we got 3, 6, 7, 8 guys on the injury list, and I'm sure there's probably going to be a couple more.
And guys that are very, very useful for the team. I heard when I was going into the press conference for Tata, Ian was walking by and he was talking to one of the other reporters and he's like, hey, you know, what's up? When are you coming back? And he said 4 weeks.
So okay. Good.
From him, he said 4 weeks. So they're pretty accurate there, right? May, you should be back in May.
Hopefully.
That's a big boost for the defense because the style of play that Miami likes, he's fast. Well, we got to see how he comes back though. I mean, it's three major injuries, all this time, you know, rehabbing and then coming down and rehabbing and then going down again. And so we're going to see how he comes back. But he looks like to be a very strong, mentally strong, emotionally strong kid. And he's very talented. He's uber talented. Hopefully, you know, his youth allows him to recover 100% perfectly. And he can bring back that talent that he has because he's a very talented player.
Now I'm looking at it here. Monterrey's fresh off of a 1-0 win and a 2-1 win against prior round against FC Cincinnati, which is a very good team.
I'm talking to Mexico. They lost to Mexico, right? In the game in the Mexican league, they lost. They're coming off a loss. In the league, the last couple of games, they've been like, you know. So
maybe, but look at this stat here. They're unbeaten in their last 7 away games. And we haven't kept a clean sheet in 6 matches. So Something's going to give there. Something's going to give there. Those aren't two good stats for
– It doesn't look good.
Two good stats for Inter Miami. So, well, with that being said, though, what's your prediction? Give me your score prediction here.
Totally illogical. They're coming in a strong squad. We don't know what's going to happen with Miami. Miami needs to come out and just play their hearts out. And I'm shooting for a 2-0. It looks to me like a 2-1, 3-1. But I want what I want and what I see. Miami's not convincing right now. They're not convincing. But Messi makes a difference. You got to tell me if he plays, if he doesn't play. Nobody knows. Truly, the information I got is that it truly is day to day. It's not just Tata saying, because I put, oh, Tata speak means he's going to play. They told me, you know what? Yeah. He really is day to day. Like, okay. But Messi being Messi, that guy's going to be out there, I think. He's going to be out there.
I think so too.
To lead his team and that inspiration, I think it's going to take the team. I'm going to say 3-1 with Vasquez because he always scores on Miami. But I'm going to say a 3-1.
3-1? All right. I'm gonna go into it like as if Messi's gonna play, whether he comes off the bench or starts. And I'm gonna say the 2-0, bro. I feel like they're gonna put it together. I think the Messi factor here. Dos a cero. I think so. Oh. I think we're gonna have a little bit of that. You know, so
it's more favorable.
Yeah, that's a result, man. What a good feeling it'll be if we can pull that off. A nice 2-0
going sheet, back clean to sheet.
Monterey.
Get Drake back to being super Drake and not average Drake. Get him back to his super ways.
That's my prediction, but my reality says it's gonna be 3-1 Monterey. But anyway.
No. But you know what? You gotta be honest because we always pick when I do my pregame stuff with Javon. He's never predicted them to lose.
Tell you, bro. That's how it is. But anyway, I think this is a good little spot here to dismount here. Let's wrap it up here. I think this is a good spot. Just to remind everybody, they got the game Wednesday. Then we didn't talk about it, but next Saturday, their next game is at home as well against Colorado, which will be interesting. Colorado is that rebuild team, Zach Steffen, Jordy Mihaljevic. They got some good people in there. It's gonna be fun to watch. So we got plenty of Inter Miami action to look forward to here, but all eyes are gonna be on Wednesday. Make sure you tune in. I believe the game kicks off at 8 p.m.
Hump day 8 p.m. at 8 p.m.
Hump day at 8 p.m. It's gonna be on TUDN and FS1. So no excuses. Everybody can watch if you can't make it to the game.
You did the little sign and the bubble popped up. You got little stuff coming up again.
Look at that.
You didn't know that? Do the little heart.
I didn't know that one. Oh, I can do the heart one. Yeah. Then I get little bubbles for everybody. Yeah. But anyway.
How did the balloons come out? I forgot how the balloons come out. that was balloons?
Yeah. You got it. Bro. So Wednesday night, we're going to be doing a lot of this. We're going to be doing a lot of celebrating. We're going to have balloons. We're going to have a good time, man.
Unless Monterey pops their balloon, like you said, man, because you might have jinxed us right now. I don't know.
I'm not jinxing. I'm keeping it real, bro, because you know what? I'm not falling on that old man crutch, bro.
I'm not falling on that
old man crutch. I will be critical of the teams that I like when I need to be critical, you know? So we got to see it. They got to step up. They had a week. They had this. They blew it this weekend with the NYCFC game to buy some confidence in the fans, you know, by having a good game, and they didn't give it to us. So, I think we have all reason to be, you know, worried and critical.
I hope they're not a team like the kids that they play up to the level of competition, because then they might just show up and be superstars against Monterrey. And we're like, oh man, they're amazing again, and you know, they need to be consistent. So we'll see. This is a big important game. This is the toughest team they've played so far this season. You know,
yeah, it's absolutely.
It's gonna be important.
This might be the biggest game in that wasn't the League's Cup final. You know, this might be the biggest game in definitely probably the biggest home game that we've ever had, because the League's Cup final was on the road.
It's one of the biggest,
probably the biggest home game we've ever had.
It's one of the biggest international games for MLS. Because they're going head-to-head. This is head-to-head with Liga MX, and it's head-to-head star team versus star team, and let's see what you got. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
Well, with that being said, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And we're all looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to talking about it again next week. We'll be back. Same bat channel, same bat place, 9 p.m. Monday. We'll be back. Hopefully Gus will be back as well. And hopefully we'll be talking about two Inter-Miami wins that'll come out of this week. So I don't want to hold anybody else up. Enjoy your Monday evenings. Thanks again for hanging out with us. Chavi, thanks so much for always kicking it with us and always being available. Remember, Vice City FC Podcast, you can find it at Lemon City Live on all social media. Make sure you like, subscribe, tell your friends. Help us out. If you like the show, leave a comment. Leave a little review if you're listening to it on the podcast. But other than that, everybody have a great rest of your evening, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. We'll be right back.